There is nothing worse than potential unrealized. We all have things that hold us back. What if we could find a way to get us unstuck? I'm Lichelle Wiemy, and I am going to walk alongside you as you make the decision to get unstuck. Tune in as I help you realize that you are not alone, inspire hope, and offer practical solutions to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of the Unstuck Podcast. And today I get a chance to interview my friend Janie Gonzalez-Shattuck, and you guys are going to just be enamored by her infectious energy and her enthusiasm for life. And I cannot wait, Janie, for people to get a chance to know you. So I want to just welcome you to the Unstuck Podcast and tell everybody a little bit about you, my friend. Tell us what you're up to these days. How would you describe kind of what God's done through your life and what you're up to?
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to speak and for the other people to listen. You know, we all bring so much value to the world. We're born with a specific purpose and a mission. Sometimes it takes a little longer for some people to discover that what that is. And sometimes it's through those directions of getting stuck or the directions of having the challenges that lead us down the right path so we can discover what that is. And I think that when you allow yourself to be open to receiving whatever those lessons are, when you have those challenges that come before you, and really pay attention to what is your real purpose and mission and what you really want to do, then those challenges are just there to serve you. So I love to say that after God and family, my two passions are education and wellness. I knew I was going to be a teacher from very early age because I love learning and I wanted the whole world to love learning as much as I did. I was actually very much influenced by a teacher who was combination second and third grade teacher and principal. And I just fell in love with the fact that she could do all those things and be a great teacher. And I wanted to be like her. And it's really interesting because when I got my first position as a principal, I went and applied in a district outside of my area. And of course, they don't tell you what school you're applying for. You just go for the interview. And guess what? The result was the name of the school was Dixon Elementary. And that teacher that I just spoke about, her name was Mrs. Dixon.
Wow.
So I feel a little emotional when I think about that because I think, you know, we're given these messages all through our life. Are we waiting and open and listening to doing something with those messages? It's confirmation that we're on the right track.
Absolutely.
And I hadn't shared that with anybody. So, wow.
That's really powerful.
I didn't realize I had that emotion.
And one of the things that you just sparked my soul with was the fact that not everybody has to be on big stages or write books or do fancy things to make a difference. And Miss Dixon literally just showed up. And she did her job and she did it well. And you teared up here all these years later and how she impacted your journey and the path that you took just by showing up reminds all of us that we have these moments in our lives that we're impacting other people, whether we realize it or not. And so to not take those moments for granted.
Absolutely.
And so, Janie, you are principal in education, correct? Where else did that lead you, or what else did you do with that educational passion?
Well, I was also because I'm a Spanish speaker, I was a bilingual director and also taught at the college level.
Wow.
And I'm a lifelong learner. In fact, wanting to learn from you, Lichelle, because of the wisdom and the gifts that you bring. You know, we all have gifts and we add to those gifts by learning from other people's gifts. And so I went on and I've taken several courses, actually, at the very beginning of COVID. I took a course about the health systems of the body because I was tired of everybody super guessing what COVID was all about. And I wanted to know what was really my body about for myself so that I could be more knowledgeable. And then I ended up taking a course with Tony Robbins on business mastery because, you know, my whole love in life has been to be a great, I have to constantly be improving myself, you know, so that I know myself better, so that I'm better prepared when I hear of what I could do with other people, that I can be better prepared to help guide them in the right direction, because people know what they need and they know what they need to do, but they just need to be guided and reminded of what precious gifts they already own and They just have to pick those gifts up and start using them and allow people to help them, you know, to receive the blessings of having somebody help you with wherever you are in need, whether it's through learning or being there of support or whatever that is, being open to receiving those gifts that are available every day for us.
And were you always passionate about wellness, or is that something that kind of came out of the blue for you?
Well, I've always been very conscientious, yes, for myself about wellness, because when I was younger, I heard these horrific stories about menopause. And so I said, oh, wow, is that what I got to look forward to? So I started doing a lot of research myself and started working on what, as a young woman, did I need to do to prepare myself for those golden years. And so I did a lot of research and did all the right things that I knew to do. And I never had any health challenges, even today when I'm 68. I've never had any health challenges with any of the hormonal issues that people talk about. But my real in-depth in wellness didn't actually come until in 2005, which my stepfather, who had raised me since I was three, had a health challenge in his late 80s. And of course, you know, I've always relied on the doctor. So when I went with him to the doctor of 35 years, his doctor said he was too old for surgery and the prescription drugs would be too detrimental for his body at his age. And I knew that that wasn't the answer that we needed to have for him. So that started me down that path of researching this amazing body that we have and how we can work with our bodies to help us to rebuild, recover from whatever's going on in our bodies and do the right thing for ourselves. Take responsibility and do the right thing for yourself, regardless of what the rest of the world is doing.
And now are you correct me if I'm wrong, but you're no longer in education, but now you have a business that you do that focuses around the wellness. Is that correct?
Yes. I might not be a principal and I might not be teaching at the college, but I'll always be in the business of education.
Right.
Once a teacher, always a teacher. Yeah. And if you're involved with people, you're always working with them through either teaching something or guiding them something. And so even in the business, that's what you're doing, is you're helping people to evolve in whatever area that they've selected, whether it's in their business or relationships or their finances, their health, their spiritual connection. All of that is part of it, is teaching and learning.
So Jeannie, was that something that you always kind of knew, or did something happen in your life to kind of make you more aware of that other than what you've already talked about? Because one thing that I've learned is that so many people that I've gotten to know that impress me so much and that teach me so much have gone through their own kind of hardships. Has that been the case for you, or do you feel like life has just kind of been just kind of a little bit of an easier ride than some?
No, you're guided along the way by the people you meet and your connection with your higher source. You're guided along the way and you're getting confirmation along the way that you're doing the right thing. And a story that I can tell you about, you know, I told you I was a teacher, a principal, taught at the college level, but really, if it had not been for, I think, God, I would not have gotten there. And the reason I say that is because I was in love with wanting to be a teacher. I got married very young in high school, believe it or not. I got married early. I come from a Catholic family. And so I got married in the 11th grade, had my first child that first year. My husband was still in high school. And so I worked and took care of our baby so he could finish high school. And then after that, I put him through computer school because, you know, with my faith, we were going to be married forever.
Yeah.
You know, I could see ourselves being old people with walking canes walking together.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not what happened. What happened was that a few years later, he met someone else. And even though we had two children by then, our children were very young, 3 or 4 years old, the marriage dissolved. And at that point, I don't know how I knew that the best way to heal yourself from loss and grief and pain is to be of service to others. Mm. So I started doing volunteer work back in the field of education at a Head Start program, which is like a preschool for disadvantaged children, mm-hmm. and volunteered there and volunteered so much that they actually said, we might as well hire you. So I became a paraprofessional. But as I was doing that, the teacher that I was working for, her husband had a health challenge and she was gone for a couple of months. And so basically I was teaching that class, getting paid like a teacher aide. And so after that, I said, you know what? I need to dust myself off and pick up those dreams and go back to school. Now, remind you, I dropped out in the 11th grade. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever talked to me about college. Nobody ever told me what the requirements were or anything like that. I just went and showed up at the junior college and signed up for a college and started taking courses, and everything was going well until one day I got a letter from the college and they said, holy moly, we have no idea how you got into this college. You don't have a GED. You never took the college exams and you're almost finished with everything and getting a degree in another semester. You cannot take any more classes till you take care of those two things.
Oh my goodness.
And so at that point I called the university here and asked if they gave those two tests. I got those two tests and passed them and just didn't skip a beat. But my point here is that I believe that it was God's grace that allowed that error to happen at that juncture when I showed up not knowing what the requirements were. And for somehow, whoever enrolled me, I don't know what happened there. It doesn't really matter. The fact is, I think it was God's grace that allowed that big error to allow me to follow that path. And so when I say I get confirmation all the time, I feel like that's a confirmation that I'm supposed to be doing what I was supposed to be doing. Had that not happened, I don't know if I would have been able to, you know, finish, gone on and gotten my degree as a teacher, then gone on and gotten my degree as a principal and then continue working. I was actually working on PhD and I had to slow down on that. I was almost complete. And that was when my stepfather got ill. And I had to make a decision. What was more important, those letters behind my name or being there for my parents?
Yeah.
It was a tough decision because I valued both, but my core belief has always been family, God, family, then education, you know, and then wellness. And so for that reason, I chose to continue with my parents instead, because I realized that I can learn everything I want to learn in a book. It doesn't have to be letters under my name. I can get everything I need because I know how to serve myself through books and classes and so forth. And then it's up to me to take that knowledge and do something with it.
Absolutely. And you know me, like I have my doctorate degree and my husband kind of shakes his head a little bit because I quite honestly don't see myself using any of my degrees 5 years, 10 years down the road. I see me going in a different, totally direction and helping people in a way that has nothing to do with the formal education that I have. And so it really just does come from figuring out where you're meant to serve and just following that. And one of the things that I really find fascinating about your story, Janie, is that not only did you use these situations where the lack of wellness or illness propelled you in different stages of your life to take you down different paths, but it's been a common thread throughout your life in there. And one of the things that really stands out to me about you is the way that you show up and the way that your energy is so full of life that you light up a room, you light up a conversation, you'll take whatever the time of day it is or whatever we're talking about, and you just, like, it's like a big battery charge to whatever it is that I'm doing. And I love that. And the fact of the matter is that I would never have guessed that you are as old as you are, just based on the way that you show up every day. And we meet every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. and we mastermind together. And it's just like, it seems like no matter what, you're just there showing up. And so I want to know, where do you get your energy from? Tell me about how you mastered your mindset and how you harness the energy, and kind of let me into your brain so that we can all learn from your wisdom around this.
Well, for me, self-care is very important.
Okay.
And by that, I actually put that into my schedule every day. It's a priority, because how can I serve others if I'm not willing to do what I need to do for myself? And so for me, self-care is about not just physical body, it's also mental body, emotional body, spiritual body care. I make sure that I'm following the laws of physical health, mental health, emotional health, that I'm either praying or meditating, that I'm learning, taking the time to learn something, but not just reading something. When I read something or I watch a video or something, I'm reading it and I'm letting it land and let it speak to me as to what it is that I'm reading. And what is it saying to me? And what is it that I need to do now? And so generally, I keep a piece of paper and I'll write down specific things that I felt like that video said, or that whatever I was reading said to me, and write down and implement whatever it is that I'm doing. And so, of course, with physical, you've got to take care of your body, because if you don't take care of your body, how can you show up every day for the people? It takes big energy to show up for people every day, to speak your message, to communicate with them. The first person that you speak with gets lots of energy. The last one you speak with has got to have also the value of the same energy that you gave to the first person. So it's staying very focused. I come from the field of education. I like to say that I'm a recovering perfectionist, because when you're in the field of education, the buck stops at your desk, right? There's no room for failure. There's no excuses, because we're responsible for brilliant minds and future leaders. We're responsible for paying teachers to create those brilliant minds and future leaders. And so therefore, I still hold myself very accountable for that as well. So I'm very structured, very organized, very focused. Everything is about evidence-based activities. Either I do it or I don't do it. I'm always looking at what worked well, why did it not, why do I need to change, why do I need to add. I'm always asking myself those tough questions that sometimes, you know, we don't always want to ask ourselves. And I have to be honest and answer those questions. And when I do all those things, it just empowers me to show up every day and to speak my truth and to follow through and then support others who need the same as well. And so other people also give me that energy, because the fact that I show up and be present for them, I'm also receiving their nuggets and their wisdom and their friendship and so forth. So together, it's like mixing a great soup or a stew. You're mixing it all together with all that greatness from all the people that you connect with on a given day. And at the end of the day, you're just grateful that you had that opportunity and joyful the next day that you get to do it again.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I'm finding with myself and a lot of the people that I talk to, especially ambitious people, so I'm going to just speak from my own heart here, is that I have such big plans for myself and I'm on the go constantly. And I feel like sometimes my kids, my husband, maybe are getting my sloppy leftovers, because I go into work. I work at the hospital. I'm giving my full energy to my patients and my colleagues. And then I come home and I'm trying to give my kids a little bit of something. And then I get to the end of the day and it's like, okay, well, now I have to work on my business. Even though I would love to work on my business all day long, I get to the point where at the end of the day, I'm running out of steam. And so no matter how passionate I am about something, it's hard for me to get there. And I hear that a lot from people. And I think that one of the things that you're saying is that you have to find a way throughout your day to replenish that energy. You can't continue to give 100 miles an hour and expect for you to have all of that same energy level at the end of the day and then just go to sleep and wake up and do it all over again. Am I right?
Yes. Whatever that is for you, that's, you have to discover that. When you discover it, just use it consistently to gain that momentum.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Janie. Is there something that you've done, kind of a theme throughout your whole life, that you've been doing that has given you this tremendous amount of energy that you exuberate today?
Well, because I'm in the health and wellness industry, I'm a great advocate of a specific company that I really want to teach people about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the missing link is what people don't know. And the missing link is what people don't see and what they don't feel. And so when you give them an opportunity to learn what they're missing out on, and you give them an opportunity to experience what outstanding can be like, as opposed to just okay or fine, mm-hmm. people shift the way they think about the value of who they are and where they want to be in the future. Where they are now, where they want to be, how do you fill that gap in the middle? Create a little map there for you, because a map is ever changing. And so what's what you want is you want to be able to get that map and take that shortcut if you need to, that detour or whatever, or take it in a different path for something else that you need, but still know what your end result's going to be.
Yeah.
The intention for everything that you do has to be your focus. Otherwise, why do you do it?
Right.
You do it because there's a result that's going to come out of that.
Right. So that guiding principle that keeps you going. And then what would you describe a typical day? Like, tell me about some of the routines that you have built into your day that allow for you to maintain this amazing energy to do all the things that you do.
Well, Monday through Friday, I do have a routine. I get up in the morning. And like I said, I do all early in the morning is the most important time to do the most important things, which for me is self-care. As I said, So I'm going to work in my movement, whether, like right now, I used to go to Orange Theory Fitness 4 to 5 days a week, which is a high intensity workout. But lately we have not because of what's going on with the COVID issue. But I make sure that I put into my day whatever movement I'm going to do, whether it's going to be walking, whether it's going to be weightlifting, whatever, whether there's going to be yoga. And then I do my meditation, I do my prayer. And then because I'm mentored by Tony Robbins, I make sure that I get his stuff in, the priming that he recommends and the mental stuff that he recommends.
Can you tell us a little also, bit about that? Tell us a little bit about the priming.
Yeah, the priming, there's actually a video. If you go to Tony Robbins' YouTube, you can look it up, and it's called priming. And it's an activity where you actually use your physical body and you're actually focused and you're doing movement while you're sitting in a chair. But then he guides you through several questions of visualization of moments in your life that you kind of process and go through. And for me, that's very healing as well as very empowering, because sometimes we have things that we're stuck about and we get emotional about and we don't want to bring that up. But through this process, you can allow yourself to visualize that experience and shift the way you thought about that experience mm-hmm. to the way you can understand and get a handle and feel that experience. It can be things like maybe a death in a family. It can be things that maybe you wish you had done something or you had been better at. It can be just about anything, but it allows you to release that old feeling and leave space for the new feeling of appreciation for whatever that was. And so I highly recommend people do that priming with Tony Robbins. So just go to YouTube, look it up.
Yeah, we can maybe even put the link in the show notes so people have access to it. So that's something that you do 5 days a week is you do the priming with Tony Robbins.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And then then what do you do after that?
My work on getting my meditation in first thing in the morning, the kind of meditation I do is one of service to humanity. And it's actually working with your mind and your heart. And it's using the St. Francis of Assisi poem or prayer that mm-hmm. you can use, and you process that, and then you send your own love energy through the universe to areas that need help, healing because of crisis, because of whatever's going on with people, because love energy is something that transcends and cannot be resisted. So when you send love, healing energy to countries or to people, even if they're angry, even if they're in that bad state, the love energy transcends to their heart. And eventually it starts to make a subtle shift in an energy in that particular person. And before they know it, they start shifting, thinking, feeling better and helping themselves and others around there. So, you know, we're all energy. The whole world is energy. And prayer, energy.
We oftentimes fail to acknowledge also, Janie, that when we have somebody that we're harboring, you know, resentment or unforgiveness or anger towards, we're bringing our own vibrational energy down, which is going to limit our ability to show up and do the things that we need to do today, because energy, you have to refill it in order for you to be able to accomplish everything that you have to do today. And so if your energy is being sucked out by your harboring anger, resentment, unforgiveness, the mere, you know, activity of sending love to those people is actually doing what it can to raise your energy vibration in order for you to be able to show up. So it's not as much even about sending it to them as it is about helping you as well. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it's a two-way street. It's the more you do for others, the more you also receive. It's a reciprocal effect.
Yes.
For example, like forgiveness is a big one. We have a simple forgiveness prayer that we do weekly. It's about allowing yourself to forgive others and asking others to forgive you for things that we unconsciously or consciously do, and allowing ourselves to release that. That's also very healing, because forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about allowing yourself to release that.
Yeah.
And like you said, not holding on to that.
And there's different things that you do with energy that I pick up on. Like if anybody asks you, you know, how are you? What do you always tell them?
What do I tell them? I always say outstanding. And I'm happy.
Yes.
Happy and outstanding. You know, you got to speak your truth, because that's going to give you what you need, right?
Absolutely. And that's something that you're consistently doing, right? And so I love that, because you're putting that out into the world. You're the people that you interact with pick up on that. If I say I'm fine, it's totally different than if Janie comes and says, I'm outstanding, how are you? And it just shifts the whole thing. And so even something so simple like that completely can change a conversation. And so you send love to people, you do the sissy prayer and anything else that you do every day.
Yeah. It's called Twin Hearts Meditation. And it's actually Tony Robbins had my teacher do the Twin Hearts Meditation when he did Business Mastery. So that's available also for somebody to have access to.
Awesome. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you do on a daily basis?
Make sure that I get in a healthy micronutrient breakfast because it's very important. The first thing you put in your body is really critical because you're breaking a fast. That's why it's called breakfast. So I take the product that I'm an advocate for first thing in the morning for when I first wake up, but it goes straight to the cells of my body. And then I make sure that the next thing that follows up is going to be hydration. And so I'm going to make sure that I drink adequate amounts of a healthy water. And then my nutrition is going to be either green smoothie because I need those live enzymes, those micronutrients, or my breakfast or my shake or whatever is going to be made of good, healthy nutrients so that my body is receiving what it needs so that it can start the day off properly. And then throughout the day, I just really monitor because hydration is really critical to the brain as well as to the physical body. People don't realize. I think, you know what happens? I think the reason people drop off of being healthy is because they don't realize the value and the critical sense of just doing basic things like hydrating your body properly, you know, 64 ounces a minimum daily to flush out everything that's going on in your body, of sleeping properly, of breathing deeply from your diaphragm, not just from your chest, you know, having some kind of movement every day. You know, and then working on eating more micronutrients. And it's a process. Everybody can take one of those and start working on it and doing better at it and then adding other components of it. And then making sure that you monitor how you speak to yourself, you know, because the things that you say about yourself, you're prophesizing who you're going to show up for that day, which is like we just talked about the outstanding and the happy. And so the way you talk about yourself to yourself is very important. And we're all guilty of sometimes saying things that don't serve us. Mm-hmm. But the thing is to be aware of it and hear yourself say that and say, oh, that's not me. And then change that, completely drop that and replace that with something that does serve you about yourself. And then that gets you back on track. So constantly being aware of that every day is a big plus. And then the rest of the day is my schedule. I show up in different groups and meet lots of new people and do face-to-face one-to-one with people that want to get to know me better and I want to get to know them better and, you know, just continue throughout the day and in between time, make sure I have a healthier lunch and at supper, just really enjoy quality time with my husband because after we work all day, we're consistent and focused. The evening is our time. The weekends is our time. We're spontaneous. We're just enjoying life, having fun, just really grateful for all the opportunities that come for us when we're just having fun with our family and the friends and the people that we meet.
And I love that, Janie, because you're very ambitious and you're very focused and determined and you have this amazing heart to serve people. And that's really the guiding force to everything that you do is how can you serve people? But what I really have gotten out of our conversation is that in order for us to truly serve people to the capacity in which we are meant to do it, we really have to take into account the way that we treat our bodies, the way that we feed our minds, feed ourselves nutritionally, the way that we feed our energy sources, the way that we feed just our own psyche as far as how we talk to ourselves and one another. And all of those things together allow you to show up in the best version of you in order to serve in the best way. Does that sound like a good summarization?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're always working on balancing all of those because we're always working on bettering ourselves in one area or another, whether it's relationship or looking at our finances or whether it's looking at our health or whether it's looking at our connection with our spiritual being, whoever that is for different people. you know, you're always working on balancing that out, and that's what keeps it fresh.
Right. Absolutely. You know? Oh my goodness. So this has been such a great conversation, and I would love so much to add all of the show notes and how people can follow you, get a hold of you, learn about the nutrition, things that you're very passionate about, the meditation, all of the things. So we'll include those. But before we part, do you have a coaching question that you would like our audience to think about so that they can move themselves forward between now and next time that we are together?
A coaching question.
What is a question that you'd like for them to ponder to move them forward?
Yeah, if time and if you didn't have to worry about time or money or any restrictions or anything like that, what would you be doing and how would you show up every day?
I love that. And that is so wise, because we don't oftentimes give ourselves the permission to do that. And if we just ask ourselves that question, it's that little bit of desire that God puts in our heart that's the next, you know, step to take us to get there. So thank you so much, Shani, for your wisdom, for bringing your amazing energy, and for allowing us to learn from you and how we can show up better in our world.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love it, love it, love it. And I'm also learning so much from you, Lachelle. You want me to tell you that the reason we do the Wednesday mornings is because of you. This was the only day you had off, and I didn't want you to not be part of our group. And every morning when I had to get up that early, I'm going like, it's because of Lachelle.
Oh,
but when
gosh.
We're finished, I'm so grateful that I'm getting up at 6 so that you can be a part of what we're offering.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. And I'm learning so much from you and all the rest of our team. So, all right, JD, thank you so much. Thanks for listening. And if you know that you are made for more, and you are tired of being held back and ready to get unstuck and step boldly into a life that you're meant to live, head on over to LachelleWeamy.com, request an appointment, and be ready for me to walk alongside of you personally to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. I'll be back next week, but before you go, don't forget to hit subscribe and enjoy these imperfect outtakes.